This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com.
Well, listen to the room for a second. Okay, you could be just about anywhere, but you're not. You're in Gastown in a room that's easily 100 years old. Easily. We're in Nelson the Seagull, which is a great hangout on a blustery, wet day, which it is. Fantastic bread that they make.
Best bread in Vancouver.
Best bread in Vancouver, as described by Scout Magazine. And great coffee, yeah?
Yes, fully agreed.
All right, this is Tasting Room Radio for 2020. I'm Terry David Mulligan. If this is an indication of how the year is going to go, this is going to be a really, really good year. Curtis Colt has joined me. You know him from The Bottle, the wine column in the Georgia Strait, Van Mag, a wine writer, consultant, educator, sommelier. What was the other thing you called yourself?
What am I? Guy about town?
Man about town.
A good time.
Beard about
a good
town.
Time.
And is a co-founder of Top Drop, along with Jeff Curry, who just passed through the room just a couple of minutes ago. And I asked if we could meet somewhere, and you suggested, and I said, well, how about Nelson the Seagull? You love this room.
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime to have this bread and coffee, it's delicious.
And some sort of communal spirit in here.
There is,
there's
absolutely
a good buzz.
Yes.
I mean, look at the people you met.
No, yeah, it's fantastic. A few familiar faces already, and I've been in here barely 5 minutes.
You came from UBC. Are you teaching? Are you a professor now?
No, just had a meeting out there, so I just hung out on the Beeline bus, you know, going all the way out there. But it's good. It's a long bus ride, but you get to get stuff done, emails and that sort of thing.
And you have lived down in these parts.
I have lived in Chinatown, close to here, Mount Pleasant, a little bit outside. But I would say most of my eating and drinking is in right here in the Gastown neighborhood.
But then you decided to, what, go farming?
To, yeah, just go to Mount Pleasant a little bit, just to use the city a little more, to spread the love.
Good. How much has it changed down here?
I think it's changed a lot since, you know, I've been in Vancouver since 92, and there was many years that you wouldn't even, and it was tacky tourist shops, social ills, and that was pretty much it. But there's been an influx of great independent businesses, a lot of great clothing designers, retail shops. And I still think this is the hottest neighborhood for dining in the city. Some of the most exciting independent restaurants are here and around here, neighboring Railtown. You know, you have St. Lawrence, you have Ask for Luigi, you have Labatoir, you have Wildebeest. It's good times around here.
Are we seeing pop-up here?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've really been liking around Vancouver over the last year or so is these little pop-up wine bars. You know, one of them by a colleague, Maude Renault-Brisson, who does little sommelier work at Chambar. She has an event she calls Apéro Maude. Once a month, she'll hook up with various local restaurants, local sommeliers, do an offering of favorite wines by the glass, little bites. Most recent one was at Dashi on East Hastings, which is a fun little place in the old Campiello Romo spot.
That's right.
Romo spot. And then there's all sorts of things. Commercial Drive seems to be a hub. There's one called, it's actually called Pop Up Wine Bar. There that one of the gents from Liberty Wine and Commercial is doing. There's another one called Vin Van. A lady, Joanna Owen, who's actually not in the business. She's in the tech industry, but she came from London, England, and she missed that pop-up wine bar scene, so she does things at places like Dock Lunch on Main, at Fiore on South Granville. And so, you know, I think that it just kind of keeps everyone on their toes. It's pretty exciting.
Tasting Room Radio. We're in Nelson the Seagull. Curtis Colt has joined me. You know him from The Bottle, wine column in the Georgia Strait. I presume the fan for pop-ups are millennials?
I would say so. You know, if you look at probably, you know, the biggest one here in Gastown is Juice Bar that happens at the Birds and the Beats. It's all on natural wine. Sean Ireworth, who's the guy who started it, started maybe about 2 years ago. It was one night a week, but now he's expanded it to four nights a week, which
is the
fantastic.
One that was a cider pour as well?
Yes, so they did a little cider thing in there a couple times as well. And going in there, it's fascinating because usually when it's these wine-forward places, I go in there and I know half the room. It's local sommeliers and retailers and media and such. But I love going to Juice Bar and all that because it's this fresh generation who are very excited about this kind of this new wave of wine. They want authenticity. They want the story behind the bottle. They want their food to be grown honestly. You know, they care about where it comes from. So this means organic, biodynamic, not using pesticides, herbicides. And so it's great seeing the next generation coming up really being interested in authentic wine and not afraid to throw down a few bucks on a good glass.
You know, long before you were born, there was a Georgia Strait.
I think
maybe close to it. And the Georgia Strait, that was the hippie movement who grew up with the Georgia Strait. Who are the readers now of the Georgia Strait?
I think it's all over. You know, I think it's still some of them. I think
originals?
Yeah, the originals. I think that you have the boomers, you have the hippies, you have the Generation X, which is where I'm sitting comfy, and then millennials. And, you know, for me, the Georgia Strait, it's always, you know, as much as, you know, quite often I do read it cover to cover, but everyone has their thing they go to first. And I'm assuming it's the wine column for most. But I remember when I first moved.
No, it's the massage at the back.
Yes, when I first moved here, you know, the concert listings that just announced, going in there, the hilarity and avant-gardeness of the Savage Love column. You know, I'm sure that draws a lot. It's still a dynamic part of the city all these years later.
When you sit down at your royal typewriter,
sure.
and your a blank sheet of paper. Do you know what you're going to recommend? Do you know what we're going to talk about?
I do not set out an editorial calendar for myself. That may say something about my organization and general work ethic, but it's really because the point of view of my column, you know, I'm still immersed in this industry. I host events. I consult with restaurants. I do staff training in places. So I'm around a lot. I'm around wine tastings, and a lot of times it's what's been exciting me
exactly.
over the last couple of weeks.
And paths that you've crossed.
Yes, exactly. So it's really whatever is kind of on the you know top of mind for me.
Do you remember your 2019?
I do remember most of my 2019. Yes.
How was it? What kind of a year?
It was good. It was quite busy as it always is. I did a little bit of travel. I went to Veneto at the beginning of the year, and so you know, big international wine event, more for agents and importers in Italy. But you get to meet some of the best and brightest from all around the world there. So that was really exciting. But then I went to South Africa for the first time in June, and I was just blown away. What is happening on the ground in South Africa right now? This next generation of young winemakers, young growers, it's really, really exciting. You know, for the longest time here, we've had a lot of decent entry-level stuff, but a lot of it could be quite industrial, you know, not much personality, just wine that's good enough. But we're seeing these authentic wines of place and time coming out of South Africa that are telling a lot of stories. One of my favorite producers that I met, a gentleman by the name of Alex Milner, and he has a property called Natt Valley, NATTEVALLEIJ, he focuses primarily on the Cinsault grape. So from south of France, the Rhone Valley, it's quite good. I find it's similar in flavor profile to Grenache, a lot of purple fruit, but a lot of floral brightness, some hibiscus, some, you know, maybe even some very ripe peach elements in there. His stuff has just come into our market here. It's available at places like Liberty on Commercial Drive.
Affordable?
It is value comes at all price levels. You are spending $30-$40 for his stuff, but it still punches above its weight class. He does a general Cinsault, and then he does a bunch of single vineyard ones, all vinified the same way, so you really get to see the difference between soil type and it's just fascinating stuff, and you just don't have a lot of wineries anywhere in the world that are really focusing on Cinsault.
I should never have stopped you from your list. You were describing where you could find these wines.
Yes, Liberty on Commercial Drive and Kitsilano Wine Cellar are kind of the two big ones where I always know I can find them.
Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're in Nelson the Seagull. Curtis Colt has joined me. You know him from The Bottle, wine column in the Georgia Strait, Van Mag, a wine writer, consultant, educator, sommelier. I have charged you with a couple of things. Well, actually, we charged each other.
Yes.
You made a list here. Top wines of the year, travel to South Africa. We'll cover that a bit. Pop-up wine bars in America. Okay, Top Drop coming up. Okay, we got that right. Let's just talk about the year in terms of wine. You were at Judgment. You tasted a lot of wines. How do you focus in on what were the memorable wines of the year?
They're the ones, really, I keep pretty good notes of things, but the ones that rise to the top, they stick with me. When I was on my way here, I was kind of writing my favorite half dozen wines, and really I didn't have to go back on notes. I remember when I tried them, what they were like, how I had them, and also they're top of mind because I haven't shut up about them. I've been sharing them with a lot of people. And
did they surprise you, these wines?
A few of them. One of them from a newer winery in the Okanagan called Lightning Rock. Jordan and Tyler, who both were at Okanagan Crush Bad. Yeah, and they were at Top Drop as well. And they do a fair amount of sparkling, but one of their wines that I adored was Viognier. And they have a Viognier that they grow in Summerland, which is funny because it's on the cool side of the lake in the Okanagan Valley. And it's a late ripening white. And so you kind of think, oh, are they going to be able to get it ripe enough? But they are, and a lot of times Viognier can be pretty rich, maybe a little oilier, heavier style, which a lot of people like. But theirs is bright and cheery and lots of citrus fruit, good minerality to it. And I think it comes in at about 12%. So, you know, it's pretty crushable as well. Pretty fun, exciting stuff. And so it's those things that kind of change the game for me that really stick with me. And also, I love supporting smaller producers and up-and-comers.
That was part of your list, one of the six?
That was part of my list.
What were the other five?
The other ones, so I had the Napa Valley Cinsault that I was mentioning. Christiana Tiberio from Abruzzo in Italy. She's in our market usually once a year or so. Her it's on BC Liquor Store shelves, her Cerasuolo d'Abruzzo, which is made from the Montepulciano grape. And it kind of straddles the line between a heavy rosé or a light red. Served with a little bit of a chill, lots of plummy red fruit and berry fruit. Really dynamic food wine and just enough skin contact that you have a little bit of texture with it. I think it's about $20 on liquor store shelves.
Nice.
And Christiana Tiberio, her wine's from Abruzzo in Italy. She's going to be at the Vancouver International Wine Fest coming up in February as well. So
that's a whole other topic, you know that.
Yes, that is a whole other show.
Let's get halfway through that list of yours. What's number three?
I always got to have a Gamay in there. From Morgon, from the esteemed LaPierre family. It was Marcel LaPierre. It is now his kids, Mathieu and Camille. They're Morgon from 2018 in Beaujolais. 100% Gamay. Just lovely, lively, a real kind of buoyant style. And, you know, it's that purple fruit and a lot of those baking spices that I always really like in a wine. Clove, cardamom, allspice, nutmeg, cinnamon, and things that really kind of make sense this time of year in the winter. It's nice to have those kind of warmer winter spices.
Do you have a book signing or anything to do this afternoon? Could you wait a couple of minutes while we take a break?
Sure.
Yeah. We'll have to take a break and thank the sponsors.
Let's do that.
His name is Curtis Cole. We're going to be talking about the top wines of the year. We're going to go back to South Africa. We'll talk about the Vancouver Wine Festival that's coming. We'll tease Top Drop, of which he is part of with his friend Jeff Curry. He's Curtis Colt. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Rim Radio in Vancouver at Nelson the Seagull.
This segment of Tasting Rim Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the Bubbles and Crepes, Cheesy Weekend, Crab Boil, the Bubbles and Barbecue, the Harvest Barbecue, and the days that the Wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers. Not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com.
Welcome back. This is the first Tasting Room Radio of 2020. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He's Curtis Colt. He is the wine writer at the Georgia Strait. Columns called The Bottle. writes for Van Magazine. He is a writer, a consultant, an educator, a bon vivant, sommelier, and the co-founder of Top Drop. If it's just a title to you, you need to know about Top Drop. He, along with Jeff Curry, founded this amazing small wine gathering, and we'll talk about it in a moment. I asked you, you made a list here, and it said the top wines of the year. You somehow narrowed thousands of bottles down to six.
Yes.
Just remind us what the first three were again. Do you still have
them? We had Nat Valley Ascenso from South Africa. We had the Lightning Rock Viognier that is from Summerland in BC. Tiberio Cerasuolo d'Abruzzo out of Italy. And Lapierre Morgon, little Beaujolais number.
All right, let's talk about the last three.
Okay, so a couple left here. Tantalus, our good friend David Patterson at the helm there as winemaker and general manager. He did his first, so he's been doing some fantastic sparkling there, but he out of Riesling, out of Pinot Noir, but he did his first Chardonnay sparkling, Tantalus 2016 Blanc de Blanc. Really elegant, lots of that, you know, there's something to be said for the taste of the Okanagan in a glass. The whole peach orchards, the breezy, the fresh air off the lake, the mineral-rich soils and everything. I love this wine. It's just an elegant, sparkling couple of years on the lees, you know, so you get that lovely fresh baked bread thing on the nose, a little toastiness, makes some of the best Rieslings in Canada. Same with Chardonnays, and it's nice to see him put a little bit of fizz to the Chardonnay here. Final one.
You get a price ball? Price
on that? Ooh, I don't know, $30?
Okay.
Around there? We'll see. That'll come out in editing, possibly. And then finally, his former assistant winemaker, but now just down the road from him, Grant Biggs at Kitsch Wines. Hell of a good time, that guy. He's a lot of fun. They do a lot of stuff that's very proper for Cologne, a lot of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, aromatic whites. His Pinot Noir Rosé, I quite love. Lovely pink wine, some pink grapefruit to it, some richer kind of apricot notes, some red currants. Just really charismatic rosé wine, charismatic, just like winemaker Grant Biggs and the whole Kitsch project.
And he looks great in a sort of a baseball hat turned sideways.
He does, yes. He rocks that baseball hat turned sideways. You know, he's... prematurely gray, but we don't hold that against him.
He's adorable. Bless him, because he and David and Jack Meyer from Meyer Family Vineyards, they were the driving force behind the Pinot gathering.
The Pinot celebration, yes, and that was a good time. Again, this year, we went to the BC Pinot Noir celebration, and it was fantastic. You know, some of the best Pinots, a lot of the best Pinots from all around the valley were being poured. Fantastic eats from Joy Road, Cam and Dana. It was Joy Road catering their swan song. They've since sold the business. And then there was also Mark Filito, Waterfront Wines, doing his fantastic stuff. And Brian Skinner, who has opened Frankie We Salute You in Kelowna. Upscale, vegetarian. I shouldn't say upscale, I'd say elevated. Very pinpoint, and you know he's immersed in all of this, you know, wonderful local produce and everything. He's doing some fantastic stuff at his new place in Kelowna.
There is a restaurant that got my attention right away when I walked in, and that is the new restaurant at Cedar Creek.
At Cedar Creek, Home Block, fantastic. You know, you have Graham Norton, who's at the helm of that winery. He's one of the most dapper guys in the biz. What's his name? The chef at Homeblog, Neil Taylor, is there. And it's such a cozy... It's a big room, but they managed to make it so cozy. And then, you know, those wines, those Pinot Noirs and Rieslings, you know, they aren't exactly slouches either.
No, they're fantastic. That was a wonderful kitchen. I love the fact that the glass was floor to ceiling.
Yes.
You were the inside was out, the outside was in.
Absolutely. Oh, and at the other side of the valley and you know, over the hill in the Similkameen Valley, the new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers Organics.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
You know, there, some amazing stuff. So good for Costin. Little, you know, small but mighty Costin, British Columbia.
My bitch with Costin had always been people were driving through there, always on their way somewhere else.
Yes.
They weren't even looking left or right. They needed a place to a destination. Wineries have got their attention, and a restaurant and accommodation, and they did it.
Absolutely, and you know, it's at Clippers Organics, one of the best organic farms in the province, and the fact that it is literally row 14, you know, their restaurant is literally between rows 13 and 15, I'll get this, at in their orchard, and so, you know, they have all of some of the best produce in the province right literally outside their front door, and then they are fantastic supporters of hyper-local wines there. Like you and I are big fans of Little Farm and Orofino and Clos du Soleil, and so they proudly pour all of those, and just highly recommended that that people go there and champion Kostin and the Similkameen.
And the sweets. I haven't seen the sweets yet.
I haven't seen them either. I've seen them from outside. They look
but
gorgeous.
I mean, any accommodation is okay.
We'll take it. Yes. I can, you know, usually I just bug a pal to stay in their hammock or something like that. So any accommodation. John of Virginia, also at Orofino. They have fantastic couple of suites there, so you know.
It just turns out that on this particular show, the new sponsors of segment four, segment two, this segment, the new sponsors of this segment are John and Virginia at Orofino and Row 14.
How about that? So who invoices who? Do I invoice them? Do they invoice me? What?
It's all just a warm hug.
Right, yes.
He is Curtis Cole. And we're at Nelson the Seagull. It's a wet day, and everybody's come in to have some soup and sandwiches and just have a wonderful coffee and dry off. It's a great room in Gastown. We finished with the top wines of the year. Tell me about what you're looking forward to in 2020, starting with the Vancouver Wine Fest.
Vancouver Wine Festival, you know, I love it. There's no other place really anywhere in the country where you have, you know, 200 of the most notable global wineries in there. I haven't had much of a chance to look at everyone who's going to be pouring there. What I like is there's always the opportunity. There's always a good handful of British Columbian wines. And so when I meet and bump into international winemaker pals, I always, you know, steal them from their table, take them over to BC, and make sure that we're pouring them some of the good stuff so they can go back home and tell all their friends.
How are you on French wines? Are you up on the people coming?
I haven't looked through the list, and so I don't want to, but you know,
look
I
at the Canadians.
Sure, when it is the host country, whatever the theme is, I always make sure I go to see as many of them as possible. There's always that fun tasting on Saturday before the actual matinee walk around tasting event. There's like a grazing food event that they do, and it's just a theme country, and I love it because it's not jockeying for a position and manic and busy. You get a really chance to have one-on-one conversations with the winemakers, the principals, a little bit of food, and it's really great. It's the first public tasting of the day on the Saturday.
He is Curtis Colt. We're at Nelson the Seagull in Gastown. Top Drop. Your co-founder is Jeff Curry. He came and went, gave us his blessing. What year is this coming? This is year seven. The original concept is still the same concept?
Terroir-driven wines that are grown and made sustainably from all around the world. And we have about 36 different international wineries. We completely change up our lineup year to year. And, we're going into year seven. We're doing Vancouver, as always. This is going to be our third year in Calgary. Who knows, there may be another pop-up here or there as well added on to that. But really fun slate we have coming up this year. It's going to be a little, we're not releasing things yet, but I can tell you, it's going to be a little champagne. It's going to be a little Barolo. We'll be breaking out the good stuff. And, of course, a good dose of British Columbian wine as well.
Do you have lots of choices under that banner of those conditions?
We have too many choices. It's difficult. We want to stay small and cozy. One of the nice things about Top Drop is that if you focus, you can do the whole room. And you know, we want it to be intimate so people can have those conversations with the winemakers and attendants. And so keeping it to around 36 wineries is key. We get more and more applications every year. So what we do is we have a selection committee of basically 20 of the best sommeliers and retailers in Vancouver and Calgary. And they're the ones who do all the voting and the work. And us who own the festival, we stay out of it so we can just, you know, pass on the hate mail for those that we have to decline.
Nothing can cancel out the good buzz of a wine festival quicker than some guy leaning into a world-class winemaker saying, the wife would like a red.
Yes.
Like he's a bartender.
We're very lucky, and I think that people are really picking up what we're laying down as far as the focus of it. You don't have those people coming up and just saying, "Yeah, what's your most expensive?" or something like that. It's people who are, they're curious, they're savvy. It's just the same how people want to know where their food is coming from and how it's grown, and is their seafood sustainable? They want to know about these wine regions and how things are grown. "Oh, I've never heard of this grape variety. Can you tell me about it?" That kind of thing.
All right. I know you're not going to tell me, but I'm going to at least press your buttons here a bit. Will we see any South Africans?
I believe we will have a South African contingent, yes.
Will we see an Italian, a French?
Oh, there's a good amount of Italian. There's always a good dose
of Americans?
Italian. Any Americans? There will be Americans, the Pacific Northwest, yes.
Any Ontario?
We do not have any Ontario. We've had in the past. We've had Thomas Batchelder. We've had Taz. Unfortunately, we just don't see a lot in our market yet. We are still trying to see more and more. When I way of tasting Ontario wine, I have to go there. But, the Guinness always tastes better in Ireland anyways, right?
That's true. All right. And we'll see lots of Canadians.
You will see lots of Canadians, a lot of very small British Columbian producers from here on the island. We're very excited.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.
Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're in Nelson the Seagull. Curtis Colt has joined me. You know him from The Bottle, wine column in the Georgia Strait, Van Mag, a wine writer, consultant, educator, sommelier. Two of the big stories that you and I will be following and writing about and talking about and being asked about are Phantom Creek,
yes.
And the District Wine Village. Let's take them one at a time. Phantom Creek, it's a ginormous project.
No, yeah, it is down in South Okanagan on Black Sage. It's incredible. They've done some massive planting in the Similkameen Valley as well for Pinot Gris and Riesling. Really excited what's going to be Olivier Humbrecht. It's the first time he's ever stepped out of Alsace to make wine. He's been consulting on the whites, and I like what I'm tasting so far. A little sneak peeks. Really excited.
Somebody wanted to pay over $100 million to build this.
No, yes, it's better than me, because we get to enjoy the fruits of their labors. I think that just goes to show you what we have here. It is a special place in the world that really kind of drives that kind of investment and dedication.
I was talking on the phone to the guys behind the District Wine Village, and I kept asking them, how did you pull this off with the bureaucracy? It finally dawned on me that the information was sitting right in front of me. This is on Osoyoos Band territory.
Yeah, it is. And, the folks behind it, they did some winery builds that are gorgeous, some of the most breathtaking places in the Okanagan. They did Comina. They did John Skinner's Painted Rock. I think that the fact that they are Okanagan people, they've already kind of gained the trust of people around them. They've shown that they have good, they deliver what they say they're going to deliver. They deliver things on time as possible. And I think that is way better. This district wine village, you're going to be having whatever it is, about a dozen different small wineries in there, some breweries, cideries. The fact that you're not having someone not from this market who doesn't know this market parachuting in to, try to show us how it's done. These are people that are from the Okanagan, and they want to see, us go to that next level. And I'm personally really excited about it.
And frankly, that kind of building, that kind of concept, would have a fantastic home on the West Coast. For all of those people who can't get to the Okanagan,
absolutely,
they can't visit, they don't have those days, but they can have half a day at a building like that and then taste around.
Yeah. I'd love to see one of those, you know, satellite kind of tasting room in Vancouver with a dozen or two wineries in there. So those people who can't, you know, make it out there, you have people who are here on a cruise ship, they're just here for the day. It'd be great if they had more opportunity to do that. But, you know, we're a young city, we're a young region, we're getting there.
Curtis Colt has joined me. You know him from The Bottle, wine column in the Georgia Strait. Any other plans for the year that you want to tell us about?
Probably some travel, likely Australia towards the end of the year, which is always fun. Love Australian wine, you know, the regionality, you're getting such a wide variety of styles. I'm sure there will be, going to be going down to Oregon for a little Pinot Noir. The Pinot Camp there, and so a lot of hijinks and good times and good tasting will be happening down there. And who knows, you know, right now it's just about popping a few corks during the holidays and as we kind of start the year with hitting the ground running now that we're in January, and it'll be interesting to see where the year takes us.
Do you think we'll ever have a wine region called Cascadia, Oregon, Washington, California?
I would like a geopolitical region called Cascadia. It's we have more than a few things in common with our Pacific Northwest brethren. It's, you know, I think there's an argument to be made. Who knows? Time will tell.
And finally, this is just putting you on the spot, throwing you under the bus, but what the hell? You have the info in between your ears. Wineries to keep an eye on. Not just the wines in particular, but wineries. Just keep, or winemakers to keep an eye on through this very busy year.
Through this very busy year, I definitely want to mention Tyler Harleton out of Summerland. So this guy has quite a story. He grew up on a farm in Saskatchewan. It's lore now around these parts. Became a hockey player, played for Michigan State. He was drafted by the St. Louis Blues. Started not liking the hockey life. Went to Montreal, started working as a sommelier, put himself through law school. Became a lawyer, worked on Wall Street in New York. Decided that was not the life for him. Came to the Okanagan, started making wine, almost 10 years ago. Has been doing some fantastic stuff, but he has decided to spin his wheel of life again. And I believe he's going to be moving into more of a straight-out agricultural kind of thing. So this is going to be the last time that the last season this coming summer that Tyler Harleton TH Wines in Summerland, that his tasting room is going to be open. Last chance to get his wine. This isn't, you know, marketing buzz to get people to buy. This is it. There's going to be no more going to the well after that. So definitely there. There's a few other things, you know, I'm still loving. It's so small, but what Mike Schindler is doing at a Sunday in August. A lot of Similkameen wines as well. Skin Contact, one of the nicest guys out there. A musician as well.
And probably makes a fuel blend and puts it on the label.
He does, yes. And I know that floats your boat there. Absolutely, and I have to give it a thought. You know, it's really having to do diligence. I know there's new owners at Terra Vista in Naramata, but Bob and Senka started something really special there. You know, the Verdeo, the Albarinos that they're doing, and I know that that they want to keep it status quo. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Are they going to stay?
They're going to keep the wine styles there, and Bob and Senka have stayed on to make sure that the baton is fully passed.
And there's a small, I came across them at the Garage East this year. I saw Sarah and Murray Bancroft. They were there just sort of tasting, but they had announced a new winery.
Birch Block Vineyard, and they're doing a really fun rosé. I had some out of Magnum the other day, which is always extra fun. And it's really exciting what they're doing. You know, they both know food and wine very well. I believe that they just collaborated with our friends here at Wildebeest, neighboring restaurants here in Gastown, on doing a custom wine for them. And, you know, it's really exciting to see that these very small producers can still make their mark in local wine country.
Curtis, thank you. I've kept you too long. How do people find you?
CurtisColt.com.
With K's?
Yes, with K's. And then all of my handles on all the things are Curtis Colt, KURTISKOLT.
Good luck with Top Drop.
All right. Thanks for having me, TDM.
Have a good 2020.
You too.
Curtis Colt from the Georgia Strait. Van Mag, wine writer, consultant, bon vivant, sommelier, educator, all-around good guy, and co-founder of Top Drop. This is the first show of 2020. What a way to start, Curtis Gold.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer, The Hatching Post Microbrewery, and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like The Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Looking back on a very busy, speedy 2019, one of the moments that stopped me then and stops me now, makes me think long and hard, is the loss of Harry McWaters. He was born May 23rd, 1945. He passed away July 23rd, 2019. He was 74 years of age. Harry's going to use a phrase here called legacy. I think his legacy is still to be defined long after he's gone. Anyway, I was going through some old audio a while back over the Christmas holidays, and I happened across a file marked Harry McWaters. And I had interviewed Harry a dozen times, maybe even 20 times at one time or another. Sometimes it was just a quick comment. Other times it was a feature. He had sold his four or five wineries, including Sumac Ridge, and he had gone into the consulting business. But we all knew that he would be back in the wine business, like the real wine business, when he was ready. And he was ready. He was releasing a label called McWaters. But I found him behind a desk. So here's a conversation with a guy that we took for granted. We really did. Harry McWaters, because he made himself available because he was a charming rogue. He was a member of the Order of British Columbia, an inductee into the BC Restaurant Hall of Fame, two-time Jubilee Medal winner, honorary Doctor of Law degree, recipient of the Vancouver Wine Festival's Spirited Industry Professional Award, Marketer of the Year, and not to be outdone when it came to selling the joys of wine. So here's a conversation, just a reminder for myself, and hopefully you, of what Harry McWaters brought to BC and the BC wine industry. The card says, Vintage Consulting Group, Harry McWaters, and then President. Is that you?
That's me.
We're at Local Lounge and Grill in Summerland. Harry McWaters is our special guest, and we're here for quite a tasting. But let's go back for just a second, Harry, because let's go back. When you left the business, you didn't really leave the business. You just left the day-to-day operations of Sumac and all that that implies, and you started your own vintage consulting group. Tell us about that business and those couple of years.
Okay, well, certainly the transition. For those that don't know, you know, that I started Sumac Ridge. We opened 30 years ago on the 11th of July. So we've had a wonderful run. When I sold the business, which was actually five companies, to Vincor, it included Sumac Ridge, See You Later Ranch, Black Sage Vineyard, Okanagan Estate Distributors, and Custom Estate Bottlers, so there are five companies. So I still owned controlling interests, actually, in the Black Sage Vineyard, so we did a subdivision of that we have 60 acres there, and as officially, we have now changed the name to the Sundial Vineyard, and that'll make a lot more sense as we go forward as far as why we named it that. But Sundial Vineyard is a very special place. It has garnered more awards than any other vineyard in the country. And so I never really left, other than, as you say, the day-to-day operations at Sumac Ridge. I finished, it was 2008, at the last day of April. And on the first day of May, I was on a plane to the Winnipeg Wine Festival. And I've now consulted for more than 20 wineries, different projects from Vancouver Island to Nova Scotia to the Mexican border, and I've had a really interesting few years. But all along, I was planning to do something in the wine business. So in 2007, we actually kept a small amount of fruit, produced a small quantity of three varieties that originated from Bordeaux, all from the Black Sage Bench, and we produced the first, what we're going to release officially today, McWatters Meritage. And so that whole concept came from thinking that I want to still stay, keep my finger in the business, but you may or may not be aware that I actually was responsible for bringing the term Meritage to Canada, making it international. We did that in 1993. And I've always believed that by taking the old world tradition of blending, particularly with Bordeaux varieties, that if you do it properly, it should be a reflection of either your individual philosophy and or the vintage or the origin of the fruit. And it really is, wine is about place. So once we've determined place, it was really what components would be best suited to bring together a wine where each of the individual components has a very interesting characteristic. But when we bring them together in the right proportions, clearly the end result should be greater than the sum of the parts.
He's Harry McWatters. He has a brand new wine out in the market. It's a Meritage. McWatters Meritage. We're at Local in Summerland. All right, there's a lot to chew on there. First of all, the Black Sage Vineyard. The Black Sage Vineyard is legendary. In my mind, it's the one. That is sort of ground zero for me in terms of Okanagan winemaking, because it's you, it's Richard Cleave, it's just that area, right?
Absolutely. And that, you know, Dick has been farming the vineyard for us. Well, he was responsible for making sure we identified it. When we bought the property in 1992, Dick planted over 100 acres there mechanically in 20 days in 1993. That was the largest planting ever to happen in Canada to that point. Now, others have planted more in the same year since then. But Dick has been responsible for all the viticultural program on that dirt since the day we acquired it, and I have total confidence in him. In fact, people say to Dick, so how much intervention do you get? That clearly his direction has always been, you make every decision you think you need to, as long as you're making it in favor of quality.
He's Harry McWatters. We're at Local in Summerland. This is one of the bonuses of actually following the wine business, Harry, because I believe in you, and I absolutely believe in Dick Cleave, and I believe in that plot of land. So anything that comes from that area, I'm going to be interested in. It's going to be special, and so we've come to this day.
Exactly, and you know, I can tell you, when we put the wine together, the individual components, we started working on the blend, clearly I had a different concept in mind than ever calling it McWatters. My kids intervened, that they had tasted it, and they came to me collectively and said, you know, Dad, about time we had a little chat here, said, why don't you call it McWatters? I said, you know, I have a problem doing that. And they said, well, the reason you said you were doing this was as a legacy. And we were actually looking at calling it Legacy. That name has been used a little bit overused. But clearly it was about a legacy for my kids who have grown up in the business, that Crystal Lee made her first wine when she was 9 years old, and Darren still works in the wine business and has planted a small vineyard. That, I mean, they're very involved. And so this is really about the opportunity going forward. As they said, Dad, we may have to remind you this, but it's actually our name too. And so this is really about legacy. And Crystal Lee said, you know, as a retailer and a restaurateur, there is actually some name recognition. I said, well, there's probably some people that won't buy it because it says that.
Harry McWatters is with me, and we're talking about his McWatters Meritage that comes from the Black Sage Road, now the Sundial Vineyard. Is this just the tip of the iceberg, Harry?
Well, you know, life evolves, and I have some plans in the works that we're working on. We're flirting with the idea of building another winery, and certainly time will tell whether we do that or not. That I will make up my mind, clearly one way or the other, before the end of this calendar year.
So you're the lead actor, and this is your opening night. Do you have any butterflies, any nervousness? You're wondering what people will think?
A few butterflies, but I'm thinking that if I have a glass of wine, that those will settle right down. Of course, you know, when you create something, you're always concerned about what other people think. And, you know, whether it's a chef preparing a meal for you or a winery preparing a wine for you, that they want to hear good things about it. And, you know, and the nice thing is people are always afraid to tell you when they don't like it to your face. They'll tell other people. I actually welcome it. If people don't like this particular wine, I want to hear that from them. And I'd like to hear what their style is, because I'll gladly recommend something else for them.
Why a Meritage, Harry? You had your choice of...
I was the guy that was responsible for bringing Meritage to Canada. And the whole philosophy of Meritage, it started in 1988. It was a group of California winemakers who worked together that were producing big blended wines, this style, things like Insignia and Trilogy. And they were all marketing their individual proprietary brands and said, you know what, we need to band together and talk about this philosophy. And I was very excited about what they were doing. I had followed them. A very good friend of mine was their executive director of their newly formed association. We approached them. They actually turned us down the first time and said, no, by definition, it's an American wine. And this guy's name was Rick. I said, so, Rick, do you have a map there? And he says, I do. And I said, you see the big pink part above the United States that you think it was Canada? I bet if you look in there, it says North, somewhere right above America. And I said, we're actually part of North America, and I believe in the philosophy. And one of the things we can do is that my colleagues have already, we've chatted about it, that we can bring it to Canada. We can write it into our VQA standards. So in Canada, you can only make Meritage if it's VQA.
He's Harry McWaters, McWaters Meritage. We're at Local in Summerland. State of the business these days, Canadian Okanagan, what's your gut instinct?
My gut instinct, it's going to continue to grow. When I reflect back, Sumac Ridge was the first estate wine, first true estate winery in Canada, that producing now wines for over 30 years that were exclusively from grapes grown literally in their backyard. People thought we were crazy when we started to do that. When you look today, you know, we were the first estate winery. Today, somebody told me yesterday there are 208 wineries in British Columbia. We're now at 11,000 acres of grapes being cultivated in British Columbia. Looking forward, I know the clients that I'm working with, there are more to come in both acres and wineries. I think what that does is that we must think that the guy down the street or, a few miles down the road isn't our competition. The competition comes from another country, and they're as close as your closest retailer. So we must always be conscious. Let's deliver value at every price point.
And finally, it's my favorite subject, obviously, and that is the 1928 Importation of Illegal Liquors Act from Prohibition.
I'm glad to see that you managed to commit, I think, a felony without getting caught. This is an old Prohibition throwback. I can understand every province wanting to protect their own backyard. However, I think that what we have to think about is that as Canadians, that's what we are first. We may be British Columbians first, but the reality is we've got Canadian consumers would like to buy British Columbia wines. I think there's even some people in Alberta that would buy Ontario wines. Yep. Having said that, if we're talking about wines that are 100% Canadian grown, it's just good for Canadian agriculture and for Canadians to discover. We go to some provinces and we watch foreign producers from many countries outselling Canadian product radically. Fortunately, that's not the case in British Columbia. I don't believe that there's a huge economic upside or downside to anybody, but there's certainly an attitude that if we could, for a small producer, if they could sell an extra 50 or 60 cases a year, that has an economic impact. For a major winery, that actually would probably be an inconvenience. It would be a service to their customer. It's not going to make any difference to them economically.
It's nice to have you back in the winemaking business.
Well, I didn't think I actually really left.
Well, you didn't. No, I understand. No, you didn't retire. But, I mean, you're back in the juice business.
And I never really got very far away from it. I just got a little bit quiet about it for a while. And some people were really happy to see me quiet for a little while.
Thank you for your wine.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy it.
And congratulations on Sumac's 30th.
Thank you. That was a great milestone for all the people that worked there over the years. It's tough to go to wineries throughout the valley, or I talk to people and they say, well, do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, sure, they work for us. And we don't have to have a conversation for very long to find out that there was an awful lot of folks that worked with you at one point or another over the last 30 or 40 years.
Harry McWaters, the president of Vintage Consulting and his own winery now, McWaters. At Local in Summerland, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer. The Hatching Post Microbrewery and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like The Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com.